The Dedication of St. Michael the Archangel. The epistle is taken from the Apocalypse of St. John. In those days God signified those things which must shortly come to pass, sending through his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to whatever he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in their midst and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such little child for my sake receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it were better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of scandals, for it must needs be that scandals come, but woe to the man through whom scandal does come. And if your hand or your foot is an occasion of sin to you, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life maimed or lame than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye is an occasion of sin to you, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes be cast into hell fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always behold the face of my Father in heaven." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In the 400s, there was a wealthy man on the Garigliano Peninsula in Italy. It's the little spur out of the back side of Italy, the Garigliano Peninsula. And he had lost his prize bull. And he was searching for his bull. And he searched for a few days. And he saw the bull on the side of a mountain cliff. And it was kneeling. We were looking into a cave. There was a cave there. And he thought, how am I going to get my bull down? First of all, it's looking into the cave. So he decided he was going to shoot an arrow at it, try to get its attention and maybe kind of scare it away and have it come down. So he drew his bow and he shot the arrow towards the bull. And as the arrow flew towards the bull, it turned around in mid-flight and came back and struck him. He was a little disconcerted by this, and so he went to see his bishop. And he told his bishop about this. Now, this was a wealthy man, a respected man. And the bishop took him seriously. And so the bishop prayed and fasted for 3 days. And then he went out to investigate. And when he was there, St. Michael appeared at the mouth of the cave and said, "The blood of the bull will be spilled no longer in this place. Come in and offer to God." And the bishop went back to left the area. And after a day or two, he started having doubts that he had actually seen that. Did he actually see that or not? And so he kind of left it alone, didn't act upon it. 2 years later, their town, and it escapes me the name of the town, was being threatened by a war. Now, remember, at that time, Italy wasn't completely converted. There were pagans around, and there were pagan cities, and this pagan city was about to attack their city. And so the bishop asked that all the people pray and fast for 3 days, and he did himself to spare their city. And St. Michael appeared to the bishop and said, "I will spare your city." And as the army was marching, there was a great storm with hail and lightning and thunder, and it dispersed the attacking army. A few years later, 2 years later, they were approaching the 5th anniversary of the initial apparition of St. Michael. And of course, by this time, everybody had known the original apparition, and they had known that St. Michael had spared their city. And so everyone was getting excited, and the bishop didn't know what to do. So he wrote to the Holy Father, wrote to the Pope, and the Pope responded and said, "Pray and fast for 3 days, and then you and the priests and the other bishops in the area go up to the cave." So they did that. They went up to the cave on the 5th anniversary of the apparition, and St. Michael appeared to them again at the mouth of the cave. And he said, "The blood of the bull will not be spilled here, or will no longer be spilled here. Come and enter into the cave, for I have consecrated it to God, and offer the sacrifice of the Mass." And this time the bishop did go in, and he did offer Mass. And this is the origin of the Cave of St. Michael, which exists even today. It's a basilica. And today is the feast day, is the anniversary of that consecration. If you notice, today's feast is not the feast of St. Michael, but it's the dedication of St. Michael. For this is the anniversary when St. Michael dedicated that cave. Now, this is the only church in the entire world that has never been consecrated by a priest or a bishop, because St. Michael himself consecrated it to our Lord. And so it still exists. We can go there. It's actually nearby where St. Padre Pio lived, San Giovanni Rotondo, further out. The cave is still there, and people can make pilgrimages there. Now, why did he make that mysterious statement that the blood of the bull will no longer be shed here or spilled here? He's not referring to the bull and the arrow, although that's symbolic. The blood of the bull is referencing an ancient pagan cult that was practiced at the time and was practiced in that cave. It was the Mithras cult. Now remember, the Romans, they were pagans, and they had all different deities, and they would usually build big temples in the forum, in the center of the city, to their deities. But the Mithras cult was completely different. The followers of Mithras would meet in caves or basements or underground little grottos, and they would do these mysterious rites, and it was a secret. It was called a mystery cult. We don't even today know the details, but there was some kind of, they would take a bull and they would shed its blood and they would do certain rituals with it. This was the Mithras cult, and it was relatively widespread at the time. And the people practiced it in that cave. Now we have to remember that these pagan rituals and these pagan religions, although they are false, yes, they're false, they're not just empty. They're not just little empty rituals. But as the Psalms say, Psalm 95, the gods of the Gentiles are demons. So we have to remember this. And so that these pagan rituals are not just empty rituals. They're the worshiping of demons. Of course, those people are deceived, but they are the worshiping of demons. And so St. Michael came in and he cleansed that cave of its demonic worship and purified it for worship to God. Now, that cave is called St. Michael's Cave, but it's actually dedicated, or at least the church dedicates it, not just to St. Michael, but to all the angels. That's why the readings today are about the guardian angels. And the epistle is just making reference to angels in general. because today is not just St. Michael's Cave, but it's in honor of all the angels. And it's important to remember that angels are here to help us. You know, our Lord in the Gospel talks about the little children with their angels. Their angels behold the face of our Father in heaven. This is a doctrine of the Church, of guardian angels. Sometime, I don't know when, but people got the idea, or some people think that this is not actually a teaching, that this is maybe a pious belief or something that we only teach little children. But guardian angels are a doctrine of the Church. You have to believe this. It is revealed by Christ here in this scripture. It's in the Council of Trent. It's in many documents of the Church. The fathers of the Church talk about it. That every person at their creation, at their conception, not at baptism. Sometimes people think the guardian angel only comes at baptism. It's when they are created. Everyone is assigned a specific angel. A specific angel to pray for you, to intercede for you, and to help you. To help you attain heaven. We have to remember this, that this is true. And who are they helping us against? They are helping us against the fallen angels, the demons who want to make us fall. Remember that before God created this world, all the angels were created in an instant. And God laid before them a choice. They could choose Him, they could choose life, or they could choose to reject Him and choose death, the death of their spirit. It is a mysterious test. We don't know completely everything about this test that the angels underwent. But we do know that they all chose. They all had to make a choice. And one third of them rejected God. They said no. And so St. Michael then, and we know this from the Apocalypse, St. Michael was the one then that swept the devil and his followers out of heaven, pushed them out. Now, what this choice was, we don't know. But we do know something about the angels. The angels are greater than us. They have a far greater intellect, that is mind, that can understand things far, far greater than us. And they have a far stronger will than us. When they say no, they told God no forever. They can never repent. They knew the choice they made, and they made it forever. And because of that, then, St. Michael then swept them from heaven. And he will do the same at the end of time. In the Apocalypse, we see him, or St. John sees him then, sweeping them all then to hell. He puts them all into hell. And in essence, this what he did in this cave was kind of a prefigurement of that, where he sweeps the devil and their pagan worship, their false worship, out of this little cave and dedicates it then to God. And it is no mistake that that is the feast that we're celebrating, because the angels are closely tied to churches and to our liturgical worship. For remember that the church, the sanctuary in particular, is the doorway to heaven. That we believe that one of the understandings of the church is that heaven comes down and touches the earth here on this altar. And that the angels come and are present here. There are many angels here now, but when we began the Mass, more angels came. And more will come at the consecration. Many saints have had visions of this, where they could see the angels coming in to the church during the Mass. And then at the moment of the consecration, they say that the air is thick and full of angels. And I'll say this, that as a priest, I've had many people tell me little stories that they've experienced, little things that they've experienced. And I can promise you that I have heard, this was a while ago, but someone once mentioned this very thing. They saw the angels coming in to the church, at the beginning of Mass. And they said they kind of flew in and they just stayed there for the whole Mass, worshiping God, and at the end they left. And it's true. This is what happens. Why? Because heaven and earth unite. In the Apocalypse, St. John is seeing the heavenly liturgy. He sees the angel at the right hand of the altar with the thurible. There's a reason why that our server stands at the right hand of the altar with the thurible, the golden censer, because we are united to the liturgy in heaven. After the consecration, there's the prayer that is not said aloud, but where the priest prays that the angels would take this offering to the altar in heaven. What we do here is united to the things in heaven. The Sanctus prayer is the prayer of the angels in heaven. When we say Sanctus, 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 Dominus Deus Sabo, in the Old Testament, Isaiah saw the angels or heard the angels praying this prayer. St. John in the Apocalypse hears them also praying this prayer. And we then join them in our liturgy here. We join the angels in heaven. Heaven and earth come together. And we pray that prayer also. There are many other prayers outside of the liturgy that we, of course, pray to the angels. Our guardian angel prayer should be the first prayer that every little child learns at night to do their guardian angel prayer. The prayer of St. Michael that we say after low masses. It was inspired by a vision of Pope Leo XIII, who had an auricular locution. He heard the devil speaking to our Lord. And so he penned the prayer of St. Michael for our defense. Defend us in battle, that we pray after Mass. And the Sanctus prayer is actually a very powerful prayer also. It is one of the most powerful prayers that there is. I should say one of the most powerful prayers that there is against evil. Why is that? That whenever someone is troubled by temptations, or they feel the devil is putting thoughts into their head, or maybe they're in a dangerous situation, someone is there threatening, the Sanctus prayer is a powerful defense against evil. Why is that? The devil flees from that prayer. Why? Because that is the prayer that he refuses to say. That is the prayer that the angels say in heaven. And when he was offered, he made his choice. And he said, no, I will not serve God. I will not say that prayer. And so that prayer is a powerful defense against evil. And it's rightly so that we do it here at Mass. And so today is the feast of the dedication of St. Michael, where St. Michael dedicated the cave in Italy, dedicated it to our Lord. But we should then also pray to St. Michael and the angels to help us dedicate our temple. Remember that really our heart, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the angels, our guardian angel, and all these devotion to the angels, St. Michael, and all these prayers are really for us, so that we would say yes to God. The angels are praying for us, that we would not follow the ways of the devil and say no, but that we would say yes. And so on this day, when we honor St. Michael and all the angels, on this anniversary of the dedication of that temple, when he cleansed away the pagan rituals, when he threw Satan out from that sacred space, let us then turn to the angels and ask them to help us, to cleanse ourselves, to help us to say no to the devil, to help us to be cleansed from our attachment to sin, so that we would then become a holy temple for our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.